Hello, this is Pastor Corey Ehrman. You're listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses, encourages, and inspires you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. I begin to share on our authority in Christ. And you have to understand, of course, our authority in Christ comes from our position in Christ. Having been born again, made righteous by faith, receiving the gift of righteousness, and being positioned, jointly seated together with Christ in heavenly places, according to Ephesians chapter 2. So that's the source of our authority, spiritual positioning. Because Jesus has received all authority in heaven and earth, and then he shares his authority with us, which is delegated authority. And so our authority comes from our position in Christ and from the Word of God. So our position in Christ grants us the ability and the privilege to use the name of Jesus. If you'll go with me to Gospel of John chapter 1, just to lay a foundation. Verse 12, Amplified says, "But to as many as did receive and welcome him." So when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you get born again. Your spirit is instantly saved and born again. You receive the divine nature. Do you understand that? And then it says, "But as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, power, privilege, and rights." So we have, I like another word that's become popular recently, this whole privilege thing. I want to talk to you about a privilege. It's called the believer's privilege. See, the believer's authority is also the believer's privilege. We are privileged people. Do you realize how privileged you are? The believer's privilege. He gave the authority. The Greek word is exousia, which is actually means power of attorney. He's given you power of attorney, delegated authority, power of attorney. Amen? The power, the privilege, and the right to become children of God, that is to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. So if you believe in the name of Jesus, you can use the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's your authority. You've been authorized by heaven. You've been authorized by Jesus. You've been given the privilege to use his name. Amen. I mean, there are certain places you show up like, "Who are you? We don't know you." "Well, I know." "Oh, okay, come on in, you know." So it gives you access, gives you privileges, it gives you authority, it gives you rights, okay? So we have the name of Jesus and we have the Word of God. Now God has exalted his Word above his name. So when you speak the Word of God, you are speaking with the highest authority in heaven and earth. Amen. There is no authority higher than the Word of God. Amen. When God speaks a word, that settles it. I don't care what man says. Let God be true and every man a liar. Whatever God's word says, it settles it. And we're also living in a time where so many in the church are doubting God's word. So many in the church are discounting the authority of God's word. They have a holy Bible with holes cut out in it. They're taking out entire chapters. We got big name preachers getting on stage and talking about, you know, why did God only make two genders? If I was God, you are not God. So shut up. I mean, it's become beyond pathetic. I would have created more genders, you know, and what, you want to be now socially relevant? Well, culture has changed. The Word of God stays the same. Culture is what's shifted away from the Word of God. Culture has drifted further and further and further away from the Word of God. We're not going to change the Word of God to fit culture. So this is what we're dealing with. But when you believe God's Word and you speak God's Word, that's your authority. Now, so having a word from God, right? So you have the Logos, the written word. That's the same for everybody. Anybody and everybody, whosoever shall say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall believe. Are you a whosoever? Yes. Whosoever can say whatsoever and have whatsoever they say, according to God's word, because it's the same for everybody. You don't get a different Bible than me. We all get the same Bible. We all have the same word, and we can take that word and we can believe it and we can speak it, and that word is going to work. That gives us authority. That's why the devil is so afraid of people that believe and speak the word of God. Because he knows once somebody believes and speaks the word of God, it's over, baby. There's nothing he can do to stop it. For God's word does not return void. It will accomplish that which God intended for it. Do you understand me? That's why the devil wants to hide the word from you, so that you don't see it, you don't hear it, you don't believe it. And then once you do believe it, he wants to shut your mouth so that you don't speak it. But once you believe it and then you begin to speak it, it's over, baby. It's over. He doesn't stand a chance. I don't care what he says. God's word is going to work. Okay, so you have the Logos. Now, on top of this, Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So we have weapons, powerful weapons, mighty and powerful. That word mighty in God, powerful, dunamis. So we have powerful weapons for the pulling down of strongholds. We have powerful weapons, the weapons of our warfare. Since we are in a time of warfare, we have weapons. Amen. And so what the enemy tries to do is disarm the church. Disarm the church. Make the church get lazy and lethargic and passive. I mean, that's what he does in the world. While everybody's distracted, he's over here doing his thing. So on top of having the Logos word, there are special words that you can receive, okay? So we have the revelation of the word of God. This is the same for everybody. But then, just like tonight, there was no scripture that said, you know, at this time, in the evening service, call for those who have lower back pain. Okay, so seeing that, of course, we saw the manifestation of healing. It was confirmed, right? God's word was confirmed. Signs were confirmed. These signs shall follow those who believe. And then they went out preaching the word everywhere, and God confirming the word with signs following. So the word has been confirmed. Many people testified to having a manifestation of healing. Lower back, jaw, shoulders, knees. Amen. So what's going to happen is, or what can happen in your life, is that you can tap into supernatural revelation knowledge. Things that are not written. But by the gifts of the Spirit. See, Paul said to Timothy, by the prophecy you received, you will do the warfare, because you have a word. And once you have that word, you need to fight the good fight of faith with that word, that rhema word that you have received. So we have privileges and we have advantages that the world doesn't have. So these are called the gifts of the Spirit. And these also give us authority. See, once you have a word, you can speak with authority. I didn't stand there going, I think, maybe, I hope, maybe somebody has a lower back pain. Let's try, see what happens. I just knew the moment it came, I knew. I knew people were going to get healed. So I was not surprised. I mean, I was, you know, kind of playing with it. Hey, we're batting, you know, 1,000 and all that. But I expected to bat 1,000. Why? Because we had a word from God. So we have the revelation gifts. Now, there are the 9 gifts of the Spirit. 3 of them are revelation gifts. These are so powerful. I mean, my wife and I, we operate on these on a daily basis. Daily basis. I don't know that there's a day that goes by that I'm not operating in one of these 3 revelation gifts. I need them. I believe for them. I use my faith. I know they are as the Spirit wills, but I use my faith because the Bible also says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. So I earnestly desire. Every morning I wake up, I desire spiritual gifts in the name of today. Today, Lord, I'm expecting revelation gifts to flow in my life. Not just personally, but to do my ministry, I need them. Okay? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. This is a tragic fact that much of the church is ignorant of spiritual gifts. Or Amplify says, be misinformed. And a lot of them are also misinformed. Especially in the area of tongues, they don't understand it. But it says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. All right, so there's going to be diversities of gifts, diversities of ministries, and diversities of operations or activities. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So we're either running at a profit or we're running at a loss. Without the operation of these diverse gifts, the church is running at a loss. They're in deficit. They're in shortage. They're in lack. They're in poverty, spiritual poverty. That means if these gifts are in operation, we believe for them. We're not ignorant of them. We understand them. We receive them. We yield to them. Now, these gifts, these ministries, and these operations bring what? A benefit. Benefit. Amplify says the spiritual illumination of the Spirit is for good and profit. So it helps us. It's going to help you because every time these gifts come into operation, now you come into a position of authority. Amen. So part of the believer's authority comes by the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. You can take charge of the situation when these gifts come into operation. We took authority over pain, various parts of people's body. How? By the revelation that came. So let's keep reading. Verse 8 says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But the one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Distributing to each one. Are you each one? Yeah, that means you can receive the operation of these gifts in your life. These can operate in your life. Now, it's as the Spirit wills. So I can't make it happen, but I can definitely stay prepared. If I'm ready, see, if you're ready, then God can use you. But He can't use somebody who's not ready, who's not willing. I'm willing to be used by the gifts of the Spirit or to have the gifts of the Spirit operate in my life. I'm willing to yield and be used by the Holy Ghost to help people, to help the church. That means I'm always ready and prepared. Then because I'm willing, the Holy Spirit can use me. So I stay ready, I stay prepared, I stay expecting. I'm earnestly desiring the spiritual gifts as the Bible instructs me. Earnestly desiring with a strong desire to be used of God. Pastor, where do I begin? Earnestly desiring, being prepared, being prayed up, being ready, and being willing. Then God can use you. Okay, so we read nine gifts. Of these nine gifts, three of them are revelation gifts. These are the gifts that reveal something. These are the gifts that reveal something. They're revelation gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and then you skip a few and you get to the third one, the discerning of spirits. This is not the gift of discernment. I've heard people go, I have the gift of discernment, and they walk around. It's almost like they're always noses up in there because they're smelling something. Oh, that sister over there. That brother over there. No, please. It's not the gift of discernment. It's called the discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. Amen? So, everyone say, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. All right. So let's define them. The word of wisdom. This is supernatural information about the future. This is supernatural information about the future. God shows you things about the future. Things that are about to happen. And then there's always wisdom that comes with it. What does that mean? It prepares you. It gives you a strategy. God's not just going to show you something that's going to happen and not give you a strategy about it. So the word of wisdom positions you on how to deal with things in the future. So this has predictive and forthtelling aspect to it. Forthtelling and foretelling. What does that mean? So not only are you seeing things before foretelling and you're able to speak forth about it. Do you see that? So this is the ability to see into the future. God is going to show you things to come and is going to give you strategy concerning what to do. This is to prepare you, prepare the church, the word of wisdom. This is supernatural information about the future. This is great. Because you're not blindsided by anything. And while the world is ignorant of spiritual gifts, and many Christians unfortunately are ignorant of spiritual gifts, they're also ignorant of what's to come. They're also ignorant of what's to come. In the whole beginning of the COVID thing, I stood here when they announced the 15 days to slow the spread. I said, this will not end in 15 days. We're not complying with this thing because I know what's behind it. I've known for years, but I also told the church, prepare. And then guess what happened? I stood here on New Year's Eve service 2019, the crossover service, crossing over into 2020. I said, this year is going to be a year of great changes. People are going to be shocked with the change that's coming. Then I said, the way of doing ministry is going to change. And then what was the word of the Lord? But we all with an unveiled face, beholding in a mirror, the glory of the Lord will be changed from glory unto glory. I said, we are going to unveil our faces this year. Little did I know that in a few months, everybody's going to be masking up and doing this and shutting down churches. And we never shut the church down. We never shut one service down. We never masked up in here. I never told anybody to mask up. I preached the word. We stood. We prepared. God gave us a strategy on what to do, how to handle everything. And then I became Dr. Corey. I'm not going to talk about it here. But live television. But we stockpiled on things that will help people and didn't lose one single person. And then we got the technology that kills the viruses and pathogens in the air, zaps them out of the air, NASA technology, all kinds of stuff. We did what we needed to do in the natural. I kept preparing the people in the spirit, and we got through it. And then the Lord told me, go to Istanbul, Turkey. I flew into Istanbul. And the night before I was leaving, I had a dream. And you guys were there, and you told me, Pastor, God brought you here just to help the church, because the day I arrived there, several people got it and was starting to break out, but I had the things that I brought with me. We put everybody on the 5-day regimen and bought out all the immune boosters and the other things that I had with me that they don't like me to talk about, because they've already taken all my YouTube videos down where I talked about all these things. I think they've already taken down over 10 different services when I talked about what we were doing here. Going back to 2021, 2022, they taken them all down for, medical misinformation. Because it wasn't in line with the propaganda of who? Who? Who's that? I don't know you. Depart from me. I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. Who are you? We helped people. We put a whole protocol in place. We kept everybody. Irene, where's Irene? Is she here? Oh, there you are. Doreen helped. Irene. We had a pretty good operation going here, and we're ready to do it again when we need to. Took care of everybody. People are driving to the back parking lot, and we're handing out things, Ziploc bags, and taking care of people and calling everybody daily, keeping everybody on list and checking up with everybody. And we attacked the thing physically and spiritually, because the Lord told me to do three things also in prayer. And then the Lord showed my wife what was going on. She saw people in lab coats concocting this thing and putting it in tubes in a laboratory. But then they said, it's deadly, but not deadly enough. And then they took it to a back room where it was dark. And now these were not people in white lab coats. These were people that were wearing black, dark robes. And they were speaking death and curses into this vial and releasing death and fear and a witchcraft curse over the globe. And so the Lord told me, break the witchcraft curse, break the spirit of fear, and break the spirit of infirmity. So I prayed over everybody. I broke the thing. Some of you weren't even here, but some of you were, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. I called you and I prayed over you. Amen. And it tried to come on me, and I had it for about 15 minutes. Flew into Turkey, took care of the church, because it was tough there, because I told the people, you will not go to any hospital, because the moment you go and they test you and you come out positive, they want to trace where you got it, and they're going to come and shut the church down. So we said, everybody's going to come to Dr. Corey. And the Good Samaritan Church, this Good Samaritan Hospital, Jesus, the healer. All right, anyways, we dealt with it. And they told me, Pastor, you flew in just to save the church. I tell you, I called Pastor Rodney. I said, I think the Lord sent me here to save the church. To this day, they were talking about it, right? They said, Pastor, the Lord sent you just in time to save the church. Stop the outbreak and the fear and everything that was, attached to it. And then, of course, what would have happened with the government there with the church? They would have come in, they would contact tracing, because you had to have an app. You had to get a QR code to even go into any place, you could not even go anywhere with a QR code over there. You couldn't get on the subway, you can ride the bus, you can go into a bank, you can go anywhere without a QR code that you were basically cleared. And the moment you got tagged, you were in trouble, because then they were gonna find out contact tracing where everybody had been, and then they would have traced it back to the church and the Bible school, and they would have come and shut everything down. And then you get blacklisted, and then it is trouble. But the Lord sent me there to save the church. And I had a dream. I told my wife, I have to fly immediately. I'll book my ticket, and I flew in 2 days. I'm leaving. I said, honey, I'm leaving. I'm leaving Sunday night. The Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. I had a dream, and I knew exactly what to do. I knew what was coming, and I flew in, and boom, and huh? What's that? You picked me up. The day that I arrived, he said, Pastor, one lady in the Bible school and one lady in the church, they tested positive. What do we do? And now everybody's, you know, freaking out and what we do and all that kind of stuff. I said, I know exactly what to do. I'm ready. I opened the bag and I had a stash. You might have used that for your horses but we used it on the thingamajig. And I taught them exactly what we were doing here. I taught the staff. Everybody got organized. We got everybody on the list. We started calling, how are you doing? And we got all the symptoms, asking, come over. And we took care of it. By the time I left, it was under control. I came back, and everything was fine, and we never had an issue again. And people knew what to do. The staff there knew what to do. Pastors knew what to do, how to handle it, how to pray. And because the biggest thing is you have to stop the fear. But all of it was by word of wisdom and word of knowledge. And word of knowledge is supernatural information about the past and the present. That's what she saw in the dream, what they were concocting in a laboratory. And then how witchcraft curses and fear and spirit of infirmity and death was sent, released upon the globe through it. She also saw that Biden would become president and everybody freaked out. No, everybody, Trump. Well, and some of the prophets were upset with her. It's not what we want us to see or whatever. That's what the Lord showed her. And then now the Lord has showed her what's going to happen next. But when we operate like this, like our breakfast is like sharing the revelations. And so what'd you see last night? I saw that. I mean, that's like our breakfast over coffee and tea. And then last week we had a situation concerning something we're dealing with, the building and everything. And that day, We had an attorney. I had to fire him, get another one. But she, and the guy was pushing me to do something, and I felt so uneasy in my spirit. I called her. She said, "Oh, I had a dream that somebody was pushing you into a corner, trying to force you to do something." And I was watching this, wondering, will he resist or will he bow? But she knew that I should have resisted. I said, "Well, confirmation." I called him up. I said, "No. I don't care if you're trying to pressure me to do this or make that decision. We're not settling that way. You're done." But, you know, it's amazing when you have the word of the Lord, you can call them and go, "You're done." No. So it gives you authority. You can speak with authority on things because now you have the revelation. So the word of knowledge is supernatural information about the past or the present. It could be in a dream, it could be in a vision, or it could be just like what happened with, man, I feel sharp lower back pain. That's not me. And then it just went away. Oh, okay. Everybody with lower back pain, come up here. So it could come that way. It could come just, and the more you become in tune to the spirit. Now, my wife says now, you know, after operating so much in visions and dreams over the years, really, being a seer in a sense. Now she just knows. She goes, "Now I don't see things in my dreams. I just know." And that's kind of how I've been. I just know. Sometimes you will just know. There's just a knowing. But you've trained your spirit to operate at that level. And if you can train your spirit to operate at that level, you'll just know. And when you know, it gives you a boldness and an authority to speak, because it's a word. Now, it may come to you in a word, but it may come to you in a vision or a dream, or it may just come to your spirit like, boom, it's a download. But you will speak it. It'll become a word of wisdom, because you will speak a word. It'll release a strategy. It'll release, it's an operation. God will set like how you're going to operate in your business, in your family. He'll give you these things concerning your children, ministry. Imagine being able to operate at that level. Hallelujah. Word of knowledge, supernatural information about the past or the present. The Lord will show you things about the past and things about what's happening. Situations, circumstances, things that people are doing. I've gone to bed and I've seen things that people are doing. I'll never forget some years ago, this was when I was in Istanbul, I went to bed and I saw one of our guys in the church, I saw him going to prison. I called up Pastor Gavel. I said, "Book him. We're going to go see him ASAP, immediately." We went there. I looked at him. I said, "What are you up to, man? I said, "Something. You tell me right now. You tell me right now. You're up to something. I saw it. You're going to go to prison. You have an opportunity. God's giving you an opportunity right now." And he would not own up to it. And he had a pregnant wife. I had just married them. I said, "This is your last chance. You're up to something. You're involved in something." Well, he got behind financially and everything, and he got hooked up with the guys that were swindling people. And then he went a couple days later to do the swindling thing, and then undercover police, boom, handcuffed. He went to prison. Never saw the birth of his baby. And then, of course, in the meantime, his wife left him. And he was in prison a good 5, 6 years, maybe 7. I saw it in my dream. I've seen many times. But again, God gives people. I can't. And then God's shown me some things that I never even talked to anybody about. He said, "Don't even bother." So why are you showing me? Pray. And when God does show you things, you have to be a good steward. You can't just go blabbermouth, because then he won't show you things again. If you're a big blabbermouth, number one thing that will happen when God begins to show you things, you have to pray. You have to pray. You have to intercede and pray and wait on the Lord, because he may not even want you to do anything about it. I've seen a lot of things that I just sat on it. I just sat on it. I didn't feel the release to do anything. I prayed, I interceded. Word of knowledge, supernatural information about the past or the present. It could be concerning infirmity. You look at somebody, all of a sudden you know they have a heart problem, heart condition, or high blood pressure. And then you pray. And if God shows that to you, then there's going to be an authority. You can speak. And then usually the gifts of healings will flow along with that, because these never operate alone. They usually come in tandems. Sometimes you'll have a dream at night, and it'll be a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom together. God will show you things that are happening and things that have happened, and then he'll show you things about the future. They kind of come together. They're never alone. They usually come in tandems. But it gives you authority. It empowers you with boldness and authority, because you have a word, right? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Once you have a word from God, it gives you authority. Okay? So you understand those two. Now let's go to the third one. The discerning of spirits. This is one of the most misunderstood ones. Discerning of spirits is not the gift of discernment. It's the discerning of spirits. It's the ability to see into the realm of the spirit. So it's like there's a there's like a veil or it's like a curtain, right? And then it's like God just pulls away the curtain and allows you to see and discern what's happening behind the scenes in the realm of the spirit. So what does that mean? What is happening in the spirit? Well, there are spirit beings. And it's not always demonic. It's also angels. The Bible is full of people that saw angels. God allowed them to see angels and hear angels as the angels talk to them. Holy angels of God, the elect. That's called the gift of discerning of spirits in operation. For you to be able to see and hear from an angel when an angel of God comes to visit you, that's the discerning of spirits. You are discerning an angelic being. They've become visible and audible to you. What else is in the realm of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit. People saw the cloud of glory and the pillar of fire. What was that? That was the discerning of spirits. Hearing the mighty rushing wind, seeing the divided tongues of fire, that's the discerning of spirits. When the Holy Spirit came, they heard him and they saw him. And they felt him as he filled them. So that was an operation of the discerning of spirits. So it's not always in the demonic. It's the ability also to discern that the Holy Spirit is in operation. Amen. I've been recently talking about the time when I was ministering and then I sensed, the glory of God came. It came like from behind the stage and filled the front area of the church. And I just knew, because it was so intense. The glory of God is like the intensity, the highest intensity of the anointing. It was so intense, it felt like I was in thick honey. The very air felt like you could cut it with a knife. I knew that the glory of God, it was so strong. I could barely move. I didn't even want to open my mouth, say anything. I was holding on for dear life. That's why in river churches, we got to have, really strong pulpits. They sent me the picture of this little dinky pulpit people are using. I thought, man, there's no way. If I hold on to that, I'm going to break it. You got to have a strong pulpit. I'm holding on to the pulpit for dear life, man. The power of God was so strong. And then I was calling people, and as the people were coming up, they were just crumbling to the floor without even having hands laid on them. And I knew they were just coming into the presence. There was just this glory, and they were just coming into it and falling out into the power of God. Now, I didn't see it. I knew the glory of God was there. I discerned it. I felt it. But there was one lady in the church, she said it was like a thick fog came from behind you and you disappeared in the fog. I couldn't see you, but I could hear your voice. And you were calling people. And as they were coming and walking into that thick, what she called fog, was the cloud of glory. They were just falling and disappearing into the cloud. Everyone that you called, as they walked in, they were falling. And I couldn't see them anymore. And then, of course, after a while, the thick cloud lifted. And then you were visible again and you could function. Well, I never saw it. She saw it. What is that? That's actually the discerning of spirits. She saw something in the realm of the spirit. Now, there were others. They didn't see it. She saw it. We had this one man. He was in the New Age in Turkey. And he came, walked into the church. He said, as soon as he walked in, I was saying, the fire of God's falling, fire of God's falling. And he literally saw fire, flames of fire falling on people, hitting them. And they were just, power of God was falling out, whatever, shaking, weeping. And then, he literally walked in the church within a minute. That's what he was beginning to see. And it got his attention because he had been into all the New Agey stuff and seeking to get in touch with spirits and whatever. And then he said, the most amazing, he said, he smelt burning flesh. Of course, there was nobody burning, but he said it was such a strong smell of burning flesh. What was that? He didn't even know what was happening, but it was the discerning of spirits. He was discerning what was happening in the realm of the spirit, the fire falling and basically burning out the junk from people's lives and whatever. As I was saying, let the fire of God fall and burn out the dross and burn out the stuff, you know. And he literally said, and it was like trash was burning. It was. People's trash was burning up by the fire of the Holy Ghost. How about this? I mean, we can read through the Bible, story after story after story. Okay, I mean, let's go to some Old Testament stuff. Elijah comes, right? The woman had a jar of oil and a little bin of flour, and he says, go bake me something from it first and give it to me to eat. And then he gave a word, as long as the Lord God lives, right? Fear not, do as I said, for the jar of oil will not run out and the bin of flour will not run out. What was that? Word of wisdom. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. Predicting the future, but always requires, because it's conditional, that you believe it and you do it. And she did according to the word of Elijah. Okay? How about Elisha seeing the chariots of fire and Elijah being taken up, fiery horses and a fiery chariot? Well, the 50 sons of the prophets were on the other side. They only saw the mantle fall. They never saw Elijah go. It was only Elisha that was allowed to see. And later on, Elisha is with his servant Gehazi, and Gehazi sees the enemy. All around sees the enemy, and Elisha says, he prays for his servant's eyes to be opened, and then his servant's eyes are opened. Well, his eyes were open, but now a different eye was open. He was allowed to see into the spirit, and then the gift of discerning of spirits came in, and he saw the chariots of fire, and he goes, oh, I see now. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. That's the discerning of spirits. Okay, how about this? Paul, he's going around preaching, and then this Bible says this young girl was following them for several days. And she was saying something that was right. These are men of God. Listen to them. And people were going, amen, sister, amen. However, there was another spirit in operation called the spirit of Python. Spirit of divination, fortune-telling spirit. And then Paul being grieved in his spirit all of a sudden after a few days. It didn't happen the first day or two or three, but after a few days, he's now grieved in his spirit. He turns around and says, come out of her in Jesus' name. So the spirit left her. So how did he know that there was a different spirit? Because it sounded like she was saying the right things. And you're going to come around some people, they're going to say the right things, but it's a different spirit. Because eventually they will begin to say the wrong things when you follow them. They're called seducing spirits, deceiving spirits. What's the power of deception? It's half truth, half lie. That's how it'll get you. As the devil took Jesus to a high place, says, hey, jump down from here. Doesn't the scripture say, now that you know the scripture, because you told me it's written. I know some scriptures myself, the devil said. As a matter of fact, let me quote something from Psalm 91. He will give his angels charge over you to lift you up so you don't dash your foot against a stone. So go ahead and jump. The angels are going to hold you. Oh, you know some word. I know some word too. Don't you think the devil knows scripture? And he knows how to twist it. So that's why you have to have the discerning of spirits in operation, because many times it'll seem right, sound right, but Paul being grieved in his spirit, stopped, turned around, said, you foul spirit, Python, come out of her. And the Bible says the girl was set free from that spirit, but then she had brought much gain to her masters by her soothsaying. It was a money-making scheme. He didn't just break the spirit, he broke the money scheme. Oh, when you start touching money. When you start touching money. So these revelation gifts are available for us all. It says to profit all. And he distributes, the Holy Spirit distributes to each one as he wills. And guess what? It's God's will. It's God's will that you know what to do. It's God's will. It's God's will that you prosper, that you succeed, that you have victory, you walk in health and healing and blessing. Guess what? Because of God's will, the Holy Spirit will show you these things. As Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will show you things to come. So prepare your spirit, be expecting to operate in the revelation gifts. These are the gifts that reveal something. Now, please bring me a cloth. Thank you. Now, there's a word called mystery. There's a word called mystery, mysterion. It means something covered. There's something covered under here. You don't know what it is. You can guess. It's a pen. Maybe it's this phone. Maybe it's nothing. It's covered up. Mystery. But then there's another word called revelation. It's actually the opposite of the word mystery, which means something covered. It's called something uncovered. Revelation. Apocalypsis. The book of Revelation. Apocalypse, that's where we get apocalypse from. Everybody says, well, it's the apocalypse. Well, apocalypse just means revelation. Exactly. It means uncovering. Now you know that it's my readers, because I just uncovered it. Now before you could just guess, well, I think it's this or that. But once it's uncovered, you see it. See, so God will uncover things to you through the word of knowledge. Uncover information about the past and the present. Word of wisdom, uncover information about the future. So foretelling, for before, you see before and you tell before. You know before it happens. And then, of course, the discerning of spirits. God will uncover to you and allow you to see in the realm of the spirit. You'll see the operation of different kinds of spirits. Remember, angels are spirits. Holy angels are spirits. Fallen angels are spirits. Powers and principalities, high-ranking spirits in the demonic hierarchy. And then there are the little ones under them, and then even little ones under them. Two-foot stick demons, you know, with an IQ of 3. Little demons. Unfortunately, that's all that takes for some Christians to live in defeat. Little two-foot stick demon. Because they don't understand authority and power. And even a little two-foot stick demon with an IQ of 3 can come and buffet them. Somebody said, Satan came and attacked me last night. You mean Satan himself? I don't think so. I think he was in D.C. or New York or somewhere else at the G20. I mean, he's probably at the Bilderberg or Council on Foreign Relations. It was not Satan. It was another little stick demon. He said, I bind you, Satan. It doesn't work. He's still loose running around because you don't have that authority. But you can bind the two-foot stick demon. Because that's probably what's trying to get at you. So deal with that one. You have authority over that one. You have authority over that spirit of heaviness, that depression that's trying to come on you. You have authority over that spirit of infirmity that's trying to attack you. You have authority over that spirit of fear that's trying to attack you. You have authority. You have authority over that spirit of poverty that's trying to attack you. Amen. So use your authority. This woman that was bound 18 years by a spirit of infirmity. Jesus knew by the discerning of spirits that it was a spirit of infirmity. And he said, woman, you are loosed from this infirmity or that spirit of infirmity. Amen. He cast out spirits with a word, with one word. So God will show you. I've seen demons on people, on their face. For a couple of seconds, I saw a creature and it disappeared. I knew I was dealing with a spirit. So you will see things in the realm of the spirit. Now, I've seen some things, if I share with you, it'll probably freak some of you out. I've seen people shift into other forms. I've seen people literally act like a certain type of animal, animal spirits. So, yeah, there's an operation in the demonic realm for sure. But by the discerning of spirits, you will recognize and you will deal with them. Amen. So these are revelation gifts. These are the gifts that will reveal something. Use your faith. Believe God. Make yourself available. Lord, Holy Spirit, I'm ready. Show me what's going on. And I'll be a good steward of what you show me, and I will use it. I will use it to walk in victory. I will use it to be prepared, and I will use it to help people. Hallelujah. So when you guys are out there soul winning and doing ministry, allow God to use you. Allow God these revelation gifts to operate through you. Amen. Amen. I've smelled things. Just walking by somebody, I smelled something. I knew. All of a sudden, wait a minute. Okay, I knew what I was smelling because it made me want to vomit. It was an unclean spirit. It was a foul spirit. The Bible calls these demons foul spirits, unclean spirits. Well, guess what? Foul and unclean things give a foul odor. I've also smelled amazing things. The anointing smells amazing. That's why the anointing oil had such a beautiful fragrance to it. Paul says our offerings are a sweet smelling aroma before the Lord. So worship has an amazing smell to it, aroma to it, fragrance to it. Jesus is the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. So the anointing and the things of the Spirit and Jesus, they smell. There are smells that we've never smelled here on earth. But then demonic things have a stinky, nasty, disgusting smell to it as well. That's why many times people feel like throwing up. We got buckets ready when people are getting delivered. Now, I'm not looking for people's lunch, but I'm looking for their deliverance. But when foul things are coming out of them, it's usually revolting. And they feel sick. But it's not just the physical thing that came out. It's actually the spirit that came out. And there was, just like joy has a wonderful expression when the Holy Ghost is flowing and bubbling up. When spirits are coming out of people, it's usually going to also have a physical manifestation. You see in the Gospels, there was a spirit that was throwing a kid around and bouncing him and throwing him in the fire and everything, called a lunatic spirit. And the disciples could not cast it out because of their unbelief. And Jesus said, this one comes out with prayer and fasting. Why? Well, right before that story, they were arguing about who was going to sit on his left and who was going to sit on his right. They had to crucify that flesh. They didn't have any power over the spirit because they were trying to compete about for position and authority. But they didn't have any authority over the spirit because they didn't take, you have to first take authority over your flesh before you can take authority over a spirit. Is this helping anybody here tonight? Hallelujah. So these gifts are powerful. They're amazing. They empower the church. They empower the believer to walk in divine revelation. And when you have insight and revelation, you have a privilege, you have authority, and you have an edge, and you have an advantage. Hallelujah. So don't freak out next time you see things. Deal with them. You'll walk into a place and the Holy Spirit will draw your attention to something. You'll look at it and you'll wonder, what is that? All of a sudden you realize it was witchcraft. I walked into a place and I felt the presence of evil. And I was praying in tongues and all of a sudden I saw these little pins on top of the door. The pins, like little pins, like cloth pins. Walked to another room. I saw the same thing on top of that. I'd never seen that before. I walked to another on top of the other door. I saw those two things. I said, okay, that's a pattern. And I knew instantly whoever was there before, it was actually a studio apartment I rented back in Turkey when I was in early days of my ministry. And then I walked, I said, I didn't know what that was. I'd never seen it before, but I knew it was unusual. And I was praying in tongues, and the Holy Ghost said, well, pull those foul things out because somebody put those there, and it was witchcraft to protect the house. So, and I pulled them out in the name of Jesus. I said, I'll pull them out in the name. I went around gathering them. I took them in my hand. I opened the window. I threw them out and get out of this house. And I felt the foul thing leave. And it was like peace filled the room. So you have to understand these things. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm sure some of y'all could tell some stories. Maybe you can tell me some stories of shapeshifters in Africa. There's a cult in Turkey. There's a cult in Turkey. They take the shish kebab skewers and pierce themselves. It comes out on the other side. There's no blood, nothing. They pull them right out. Demonic powers. There's these energy healers and people in Asia. They go in and stick their hand in a part of your body and pull out things, and then it closes up. Well, there's the demonic realm too, right? So you have to understand the spirit realm can affect the physical realm. And that's exactly how the hybrid race came into being, where the Bible says the sons of God took for themselves the wives of the daughters of men. And then these giants, the Nephilim, these hybrid creatures came about. And so the devil's always trying to mess with the human genome. Pharmakia, witchcraft, sorcery. The word for sorcery is pharmakia, pharmacy, pharmaceuticals. Why do you think we have all these drugs, fentanyls and opioids and cocaines and heroines and now prescription drugs? Who knows what is in those things? And the things people being jabbed with, what is in those things? Gene-altering things. It's been happening, mind-altering things. That's why I'm very, very, very strong when people think I'm a little overboard. Well, I'd rather be overboard than be an idiot and just get jabbed with anything that comes down the pipe. But when you understand what's going on in the realm of the spirit and you've been studying this stuff for years and you know we're in the end times and you know what's going to be happening and how the preparation for the mark of the beast is happening, people are coming under strong delusion. This is why we have to have the discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, and word of wisdom to understand what's going on. Otherwise, you're ignorant. And you'll turn your church into a vaccination center. We got emails. Would you like to have a community service and turn your church? I wrote back, hell no. And they said, well, there's a government loan you can take out, a couple of million dollars to keep your church closed. I wrote back, hell no. And churches closed and took the money. Made a covenant. My covenant is with God. And people are ignorant because of the lack of knowledge of the word and lack of words of knowledge and words of wisdom and discerning of spirit. So you can operate at a high level of spiritual authority because you have revelation.
Thank you for tuning into my podcast. I hope that you have been blessed. I would like for you to consider two things. Number one, subscribe to our show to receive notifications of our new podcasts. Number two, support our ministry of reaching the nations with revival by clicking on the link in the description or visiting our website, riverwpb.com. Thank you for tuning in. Look forward to you joining our next podcast. God bless you.